Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I appreciate that you set aside these minutes in your busy schedule so that we can worship our God through and in the study of His Word. This weekend, I was teaching a course in a church on the New Testament book of 2 Peter, which deals with false teachers that, in a very deceptive way, had influence in the first century church. And as we had discussion, we talked about the need for Christians to really study the Bible so that we can discern false teaching from true teaching and so that we can defend ourselves from the lies that can so easily spread among the people of God today. Now, Bible study is not a very popular phrase anymore, used less and less, but I like it and I use it. Because that is what we do. We sit down and we study. We educate ourselves on what God's Word means by what God's Word says. Yes, to be sure, application is important, but we cannot adequately apply to our lives that which we do not first understand. And when Christians do not engage in a hearty and at times heavy Bible study, then we are wide open to believe anything that comes our way. And especially in the technology age, when we are inundated with well-produced and alluring, appealing opinions and ideas, wow, we can easily get swept away by deception, especially when this appeals to the lusts of our flesh. Satan is very good at this. He operates as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Christian radio and Christian podcast, and I emphasize Christian, are sadly filled with false teaching of various kinds. So we need to be on guard, and we do that by putting in the work, by being diligent, as Peter repeatedly tells the early church, being diligent to know the truth. I hope you find that you are getting the truth here on God Is, and that you will continue this journey with us through Genesis chapter 14 and beyond. We have some exciting days ahead, and I trust you will be here and will tell others about us as well. I remind you, our website is godisministry.org, and you can get the free podcast there, downloading it to all your technological devices so you can listen anytime and anywhere. And with that in mind and heart, let's commit this week to the Lord and get started. Father, thank you for bringing us in safety to this time we have with you and with one another. I thank you for every one of these faithful listeners. We do not know each other well. We've never met in person, not yet anyway. But there is coming that day when all of your people, saved from our sin by your grace, when we will see you and one another. Thank you for the promise of our eternal and never-ending heavenly home. Teach us to look forward with great anticipation for your coming and the sweet fellowship we will always enjoy in your presence. We pray you will save our loved ones and friends too. In your wrath, remember your mercy. As you judge our country for our sin, still bring many more into your kingdom. Indeed, your kingdom come, your will be done. Please redeem as many as you will. And go with us now into your word. You be the teacher, we all be the students. Give us knowledge, give us wisdom, encourage us to be diligent. Protect us from false teaching and teachers. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you have your Bible there, I'm reading from the book of Genesis chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Just two verses today, verses 13 and 14 of Genesis chapter 14. Then a fugitive came and told Abram the Hebrew. Now he was living by the oaks of Mamre the Amorite, the brother of Eshcol and the brother of Aner. And these were allies with Abram. When Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he led out his trained men, born in his house, 318, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. We have reached the point in this chapter that will show us why the action of verses 1 through 12 is all a lead-up to reintroduce us to Abram. Thus far, he has remained absent. But in verse 13, we are told that a fugitive, in Hebrew that reads the fugitive, came and found Abram, called a Hebrew, near the oaks of Mamre. We meet the fugitive and we are reacquainted with our father Abram. The fugitive is a survivor from the war, which had taken place south of where Abram was. And whoever this fugitive was, he came from the cities down on the plain, most likely Sodom, since he knew Lot, and we know Lot was in Sodom. Lot must have spoken of his uncle Abram and identified where Abram lived, because the fugitive knows to go there. So here is this Sodomite, not at all a godly person, and yet notice that he comes to find Abram, the servant of God Most High. Following along with Bible commentators who have long preceded me, I see this also. When godless people run into real trouble, then they are quick to flee to the godly for help. Two classic examples of this from elsewhere in Scripture are in the New Testament. You may remember the story of the rich man in hell calling out for Father Abraham in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. In his life on earth, the rich man wanted nothing to do with serving God and loving others in need, those like Lazarus, the poor man at his gate. Ah, but when he dies and is undergoing torment in hell, then he looks for Abraham to have mercy upon him. The godless in torment then seeks the godly for help, but it is too late. And then there is the parable that our Lord Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 25 about the foolish virgins who ran out of oil for their lamps as they waited for the bridegroom. When the bridegroom came, the foolish ones said to the wise ones, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." The godless in desperate need then seek the godly for help, but once again, it is too late. The fugitive in Genesis 14 is like the rich man in hell and the foolish virgins in the parable. It is one thing to revile God and to reject his godly ones when life is going well, as they did down in Sodom, when life is easy with no obvious threats or problems. But when trouble comes, something like this war of the kings descending upon Sodom, well then it is different. As Matthew Henry writes, quote, "The worst of men in the day of their trouble will be glad to claim acquaintance with those that are wise and good, and so get an interest in them." End quote. That is what the fugitive did. We have met the fugitive, and now let's get reacquainted with Abram. Please notice that here he is called the Hebrew. This is the first time in the Bible Abram is called the Hebrew. You will want to note this detail, and we ask, who is a Hebrew? Let's talk about this because there are a few insights I would like to share with you. There is value in understanding this word because, as you know, it is a word that is now used to describe a prominent people, the Hebrews. There is even a significant book of the New Testament with this as its title, the Book of Hebrews. Also, as we will see, this name is used throughout the Old Testament, what we know as the Hebrew Bible. Now, to begin with, let's go back in the text to Genesis chapter 10. Recently, we found out how helpful this genealogy is to us in understanding what lies beyond it in the Scripture, and we return there again. I am reading Genesis chapter 10 and verse 21. Also to Shem, the father of all the children of Aver, and the older brother of Japheth, children were born. That name there, Aver, in English is spelled E-B-E-R, and it is thought by some to be the origin of the word Hebrew. So you can make a connection between Genesis 10:21 and Genesis 14:13 in your Bible. That is, the origin of this word Hebrew in the Bible is the name Aver. Tomorrow I will speak of tablets again, but since I already told you about the Ebla tablets, remember those? Clay tablets containing ancient cuneiform script? Here I can report that the Ebla tablets refer often to a king named Aver-Iam, who ruled Ebla for 28 years. What that shows us is how the extra-biblical text connects to the Bible in a name. Since we are looking into the origins of the word Hebrew or Hebrews, that is an interesting nugget. And then, of course, it is a good question to ask, in the Hebrew language. The language of Hebrew, what does the word Hebrew mean? And it means crossed over, or other side of the river, meaning the Euphrates River. So that in using the term Hebrew, the Bible is speaking of people who come from the other side of the Euphrates River, which is where Abram originally was from. He came from Ur and then crossed over the Euphrates River to get into the land of Canaan. We talked about that in Genesis chapter 11. Okay, we will pick up here tomorrow with some review, and then we will proceed. We are about to come upon a part of this chapter that is full of action. And so I hope that you will be with us for that. We've met the fugitive and Abram the Hebrew. Join us again next time as we continue to discover who God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.